It's another day here at the Comeback Team Studios. And this is your host, Beck Lover, where I bring you the most interesting stories in the world. I compile them all for you so you don't have to do the homework. And I got really good eye for what's interesting, man. So if you just want a quick take on the most important and funny and crazy and interesting headlines around the world, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Interesting Times with Beck Lover. There's so much that's gone on over the last few weeks, the last few days. I hope you had a great holiday weekend and a time off with your family this past weekend. And a lot of cool and crazy things have continued to happen around the globe. I'm going to get into it right away with you guys and make sure that you can also watch this episode on YouTube, Rumble, or Spotify. But it's also available in audio form on any podcast platform. And make sure you drop a review, guys. I need your help. This is your boy, Beck Lover. And welcome to Interesting Times. Interesting times indeed. A lot of breaking stories. More barge attacks happening in bridges all around the world. Is it a coincidence or is something crazy and nefarious going on? Is America's infrastructure under attack? We are now in the month of April. It is April 1st, and it is the beginning of the month of the solar solstice. Sorry, the solar eclipse. And a lot's going to be happening during that time period. So a lot of crazy speculation. Maybe it's not so crazy. But in any event, let's jump into the headlines, and I'll keep you guys up to date. Interesting times indeed. This is reported by CBS News. Tens of thousands of Israelis staged largest protest since the war began as pressure on Netanyahu mounts. Tens of thousands of Israelis thronged central Jerusalem on Sunday in the largest anti-government protest since the country went to war in October. Protesters urged the government to reach a ceasefire deal to free dozens of hostages held in Gaza and, they're being held by Hamas. In Jerusalem, outside of Israel's parliament, some called for the removal of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, also known as Bibi, and many said they want the government to do more to bring the remaining hostages home. This government is doing horrendous things in Gaza, not in our name, and we want the government to take responsibility and resign today, right now, protester Karen Saar told Williams. Israeli society was broadly united until immediately after October 7th, when Hamas killed some 1,200 people during a cross-border attack and took 250 others hostage. Nearly 6 months of conflict have renewed divisions over the leadership of Netanyahu. Netanyahu has vowed to destroy Hamas and bring all the hostages home. It's very interesting, though. Every time this guy seems to get in trouble politically, okay, just simply pointing out the fact, every time it looks like he's about to get ousted or charged with some type of corruption or whatever the case may be, something horrific seems to happen and they seem to go to war or blow up Palestinians. I don't know. It just seems to be a coincidence. I guess it's completely just by chance. It has nothing to do, I'm sure, with him maybe trying to preserve his power and creating conflict so he can distract and maybe expand his powers in an emergency type situation. Kind of like what we went through when they closed the world down, where you gave up your inalienable rights to do as you please as a free person in the world. Yeah, that type of stuff. You know, when an emergency happens, people stay in power. They pause elections in other countries. Very interesting shit going on. Interesting, to say the least. This is reported by The Hill. We had a representative of the American government who, for the most part, they seem to be more concerned about what's going on in the Ukraine and Israel than they are about what's happening right here in the United States of America, where we have people being killed left and right in lawless cities. Police have been demoralized. Our national debt is through the roof, where pretty much most of the experts, and I'm going to get to this in a moment, most of the experts say there's no way out for us but a collapse. And you have this guy who represents Michigan, which has one of the largest, and I repeat, this is how stupid this guy is. This is how dumb, how stupid this congressman is. This is how stupid that he doesn't even realize that he's alienating one of the largest voter bases in Michigan, who happens to be Arab and Middle Eastern. Everyone knows Dearborn has a very large Arab and Muslim population. And this moron, this idiot named Tim Walberg, a Republican, like I said, I'll call them out wherever they are. I don't care what party they are. I'm not in any party. I'm for common sense. This guy who, I guess, clearly 30,000 people massacred, basically blown up to pieces, 99% of them civilians, more than half of them women and children, innocent lives being lost there that we've been watching since October 7th. Instead of calling for peace, this moron who represents a state with a very large Arab community, that shows you how smart he is about his own districts. And what a moron. He says that Gaza should be nuked like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And now he's trying to walk back his statement because I guess someone in his office is like, sir, you do realize you've been in power for like 70 years. And since you're 70 years, there's no more white people in Michigan. And Dearborn is all Arab. So like you spoke against Arab people. You're probably going to lose the next election for that comment, sir. And then he walks it back. Bro, that's how this will happen. They don't care about us. Arab, white, Jewish, Hindu. They don't care about us. You rally for these people because you're an idiot. You're stupid. Yes. Oh, AOC. Like these people do not care about not only any of us. They don't care about their own people of their own ethnicities. They don't care about nothing except themselves and the people that manhandle them and control them because of the money that they take from. These people do not care about you and me. The sooner you realize that and you come over here, the sooner you can stop being what is called a useful idiot, because that's exactly what you are. And I'm not saying you, my audience, because you are so smart. And that's why you tune into the Beck Lover podcast and Interesting Times with Beck Lover. That's why I love you guys. And don't forget the subscribe button. The Hill reports Israel's government passes law to temporarily shut down Al Jazeera. Israel's legislator passed a law Monday paving the way to shut down the Qatar-based Al Jazeera news network under legislation allowing for the temporary ban of foreign news networks that the government deems a threat to national security, which is pretty much anybody if Bibi's in power. Free speech is definitely not one of his fortes. He cracks down on anyone exercising their free speech. The terrorist channel Al Jazeera will no longer broadcast from Israel. I intend to act immediately in accordance with the new law to stop the channel's activity. You mean like show the Arab side of the story? Pretty dangerous, ain't it? Any event, let's keep moving. Iran says Israel bombed its embassy in Syria, killing a top commander. Okay, this is where things can start getting out of hand. We need to pay close attention to this. Suspected Israeli warplanes bombed Iran's embassy in Syria on Monday, an escalation of Israel's war against Iran's regional proxies, flattening a building in the strike. Tehran said killed a top Revolutionary Guards commander and several diplomats. Reuters reporters at the site in the Mez district of Damascus saw emergency workers clamoring atop rubble of a destroyed building inside a diplomatic compound. Adjacent to the main embassy building, emergency vehicles were parked outside and an Iranian flag hung from the pole in front of the debris. You know, when you attack an embassy on foreign soil, it's as if you have attacked that nation. If someone blew up the American embassy, we would respond swiftly. So the question is, what will happen? You know, this war is going to, I've been saying it for months. This war is just beginning, man. People think, oh, it's been going on since October 7th, even with the mounting pressure. Israel's in a zero-sum game here. The world already hates them now. The majority of the world, I would say at least 60% of the countries out there, 70% are against how they've handled October 7th, how they've treated the Palestinians, how they've broken the rules and United Nations rulings on settlements. I mean, they are clearly the aggressor. I hate to break. I love my Jewish family, my cousins. I love my friends who are Jewish. I can criticize your government if you accept that as your government, because most of you live in America, but then you say, so what are you? Are you American or Israeli? And if America and Israel fight, who do you fight for? Do you fight for America or Israel? Which weapons that we gave you do you use against us? Hypothetically speaking, that is. My question is, would anyone even be loyal to the United States of America? Would a German-American fight? I mean, they asked these questions during World War II. That's why you had sick people in America round up all the Japanese and throw them in camps, and German-Americans throw them in camps here in America because they questioned their loyalty. So my question is, you know, when does America start to worry about itself before all hell breaks loose. Because it looks like it's already has. And it looks like it's only getting worse. And it looks like we're only going into debt to the point of absolute no return. And it looks like we are Weimar Germany in the making, is what it looks like. And Rome right before its collapse. Especially with our arrogance. Now on to more comical news. Unless you're one of the victims of whatever he's accused of doing. But Diddy, who seems to be able to evade all the, like, this guy's better. This guy should have been a spy. Puff Daddy should have been James Bond. It should have been Diddy Bond. Like, this guy seems to be able to just walk around, even though he's wanted. They raid his homes. Diddy breaks social media silence as sex trafficking probe set to widen to cover 1999 shooting. Sean Diddy Combs has posted on social media for the first time since the raids on his homes in Miami and Los Angeles. On the 25th of March, his mansions were raided by federal agents by Homeland Security in connection to a federal sex trafficking investigation. This is reported by the independent.co.uk. That day, a man police have described as Diddy's drug mule, Brendan Paul, was arrested in a Miami airport for allegedly carrying contraband inside of his personal travel bags. Over Easter weekend, Diddy was spotted several times in Miami near his Star Island mansion. He also took to Instagram on Sunday, making no mention of the current firestorm, but sharing a series of photos of his toddler daughter. Happy Easter from baby love. This is definitely just a weird, weird, weird story. If the government really wants him, you know, is he under arrest? No, it's just weird, man. It's just weird. It's kind of like when Prince Andrew was taking walks with Jeffrey Epstein in the beginning of the scandal. Like, it was just weird, man. NBC News reports Trump camp and White House clash over Biden's recognition of Transgender Day of Visibility. Conservatives slammed the White House for proclaiming March 31st, which corresponded with Easter Sunday this year, as Transgender Day of Visibility. I gotta say, it really seems to me that the government wants to agitate both sides and pull them into anger and hatred. And why? There's 365 days in the year. Did you really have to do something like that on a religious holiday from a faith that may not necessarily agree with the whole transgender movement, that a man is a man, a woman is a woman? This is clearly in most Abrahamic faiths. So again, no one's arguing whether they have the right to do it or no one's getting into that. We're talking about such a small, minuscule amount of people. Not that anyone's minuscule when it comes to having rights and freedom. And again, I want to clarify, I do not care what you do to yourself. I do not care what you do in your bedroom. I do have a problem, however, if you want to try to push those ideologies on my children. I have a problem with that. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I don't care who you marry. I don't. That's between you and God. And I do believe in God. And I believe you will answer for that. That's between you and him. I don't have a right to judge you. Not in this country. However, neither do you have a right to push that onto my child or my children if I don't agree. I brought them into this world, not you. I provide for them. I guide them the way I think is best for them. But forget all of that. My question is, why do it on Easter Sunday? Why antagonize the Christian community? Why not do it today? Why couldn't they have done it today, April 1st? Oh, that's April Fool's Day. Okay, tomorrow. Why on one of the biggest religious holidays on earth? I'll tell you why. I don't care what any of you say. It's not by accident. It wasn't like the White House advisor couldn't figure out, you know, what day it was and it was a holiday. No, they did it to antagonize. They did it to disrespect every Christian in the world. They did it to create fuel and animosity between these two groups. They did it to fuel the hatred between left and right. Instead of trying to bring them together, these are ways to agitate and make sure that they stay at each other's throats and the hatred only grows. That's what they're doing. That's what the politicians, instead of bridging the gap, they are purposely fueling it to make people and groups hate each other and want to hurt each other. And this is on purpose. This is by design. If you're a Christian or transgender, just know it's by design. They're doing it to make you hate each other because they don't want you to realize how evil they are and that we should be hating them with everything in us because they have made all of our lives miserable. Period. They really have. So that's what that is all about. Enough of that. However, this is probably a direct contribution, although I don't know. I mean, it's the Hindustan Times. Hundreds of Bibles burnt down outside a Tennessee church in U.S. on Easter. Okay, a trailer filled with Bibles was set on fire outside an evangelical church in Tennessee on Easter morning. Local police reported the church far-right pastor condemned the act as intentional. Around 6 a.m. on Sunday, police and firefighters rushed to a trailer fire and found basically a whole thing full of Bibles burned. During a live stream service, Pastor Locke assured his congregation that the culprit would soon face serious consequences. Although he did not personally view the security footage, he described it saying he got his hazard lights on at 5:58 in the morning. I'm like, wow, here's the most polite crook I've ever met. I've never met a polite Satanist. And so he unhooks the trailer and douses it with gasoline. There were probably about 200 Bibles. I don't know where he got them. Locke expressed his intention to distribute the scorched Bible pages, but mentioned that authorities confiscated them as evidence. He claimed that the incident was being investigated as a hate crime and the FBI was involved. He has drawn national headlines for his vaccine skepticism, anti-LGBTQ stunts, and book burnings. Additionally, he clashed with neighbors and county authorities over the noise from his late-night services and construction projects. Global Vision has experienced several vandalism incidents since in recent years. In 2020, ahead of scheduled appearance by Trump loyalist Roger Stone, the church was tagged with phrases, repent, Locke plus Stone will burn hell. So, okay. So, another incident there. California, reported by The Guardian, but this is all over the news today. California's Highway 1 remains closed after a road collapse in the storm. I'll be there at the end of this month, actually. A famous California highway remained closed on Monday after a portion of the road collapsed, leaving nearly 2,000 travelers stranded during Easter weekend. A section of California's Highway 1, which winds along the state's cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean, crumbled during a major storm on Saturday. The damaged road in Monterey County near the Big Sur area of Northern California stranded nearly 1,600 drivers overnight along the highway until emergency crews could guide them along the damaged roadway the next morning. Some stranded motorists were forced to sleep in their cars, the San Francisco Chronicle reported. Others had to stay. Okay, in any event, this happened, right? Yeah, we have billions and trillions of dollars. We're in debt to our eyeballs. We're about to collapse from all the debt we have. Inflation, all this stuff is rampant. Yet we can't even take care of our infrastructure. We can send billions of dollars to blow up countries on the other side of the world that most Americans will never visit. They will never visit in their lifetime. And we can't even take care of our own infrastructure, potholes. My car needs a new alignment again from a pothole I just hit. We can do all of this. People homeless, people in the streets, mental ill. Everything is horrible. Yet we can send trillions of dollars to blow up Palestinians and Russians. Regardless of where you are on those wars, if you can make money for destruction, make some for construction. Life Science reports rare meningitis and bloodstream infections on the rise in the U.S. The CDC issued a health alert about an uptick in invasive meningococcal disease in 2023 that appears to be continuing in 2024. Estimated that about 1 in 10 carry the bacteria in their nose and throat without getting sick, but certain demographics are vulnerable to the infection. This includes infants, people with medical conditions that weaken the immune system like HIV, and people who take certain antibody-based drugs. In 2023, the U.S. reported 422 cases of meningococcal disease. Okay, meningitis, guys. The numbers are up. I wonder, could it be from all the people that are coming across our border that have been unscreened medically? Millions and millions of them that carry diseases that are very rare in first world countries because they've been wiped out. I mean, could it be that? Do you think that's what the increase is from? I've reported on this in other episodes that it was, just by the way. I'm not pulling up the article now, but they've linked it to the migrants. We have had measles outbreaks because of them. Now we have meningitis because of them. We might have hepatitis because of them and all this other shit that's happening because of them. And speaking of financial ruin, J.D. Tuchel. Give or take a trillion, fiscal ruin is on its way to the U.S. At this point, a balanced budget is pure fantasy. I mean, listen to this headline. And it's not an April Fool's joke. Okay? Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen testifies during a Senate finance hearing to examine President Joe Biden's proposed budget requested for fiscal year 2025. There's a great deal of ruin in a nation, Adam Smith once said to a correspondent who was concerned about Britain's prospects. The question, though, is whether there's enough room in the U.S. to sustain the fiscal inconscience of America's political class. I think I said that word right. While nothing is written in stone, its signs suggest that the stockpile of ruin is being drawn down too far and too fast, threatening disastrous consequences for the country and the world economy. That's what they want. They want America to collapse. It pulls the rest of the paper money with it. They can introduce central banking digital currencies, and the rest of us lose our freedoms forever if we participate in that type of system. If I was a betting man, I would be betting against the U.S. I do not believe we will sustain financially. I do believe we are the next Venezuela. I believe our time is limited. And I know those of you that think I'm crazy. Let's see how this ages. I've been saying this for years. Data from 73 million current former customers leaked on dark web. If you have AT&T, hackers now have your information. And it's on the dark web. You might want to put on some type of credit monitoring and LifeLock. Cannabis partially decriminalized in Germany. Some German people drink their beers after work. We just want to smoke our weed. BBC reports Michael Richel, who's celebrating as Germany traditionally beer land, becomes a more cannabis-friendly country. Germany has, as April 1st, partially decriminalized marijuana use, but police unions are warning of a real-world harm. The law change may have come on April Fool's Day, but for them it is no joke. We meet Marshall Richel in the Neustadt area in Dresden, the heart of the city's alternative scene. What are the new rules? From April 1st, over 18 can possess up to 25 grams of cannabis in public. Adults can grow up to 3 plants per household, but people won't be allowed to smoke joints within sights of schools, sports centers, or in pedestrian zones between 7 and 20. So, pretty much you can smoke weed in Germany. Congratulations, Hans. Gmail was launched 20 years ago today, April Fool's Day. People thought it was an April Fool's Day joke. This is reported by Associated Press. Google co-founder Larry Page and Sergey Brin loved pulling pranks so much that they began rolling out outlandish ideas April Fool's Day, not long after starting their company more than a quarter century ago. One year, Google posted a job opening for Copernicus Research Center on the moon. Another year, the company said it planned to roll out scratch and sniff feature on its search engine. The jokes were so consistently over the top that people learned to laugh them off as another example of Google mischief. And that's why Page and Brin decided to unveil something no one would believe was possible 20 years ago. It was Gmail, a free service boasting 1 gigabyte of storage per account, an amount that sounds almost pedestrian in the age of 1 terabyte iPhones, but it sounded like a preposterous amount of email capacity back then, enough to store about 13,500 emails before running out of space, compared to just 30, 60 emails in the leading webmail services run by Yahoo and Microsoft. That translated into 250 to 500 times more email storage. Besides the quantum leap in storage, Gmail also came equipped with Google search technology so users could quickly retrieve a tidbit from an old email, photo, or other personal information stored on the service. It also automatically threaded together a string of communications about the same topic so everything flowed together. All right, and I use Gmail, and they're dope, you know. So, 20 years later, happy birthday. Interesting times indeed, my friends. The Associated Press reports a faster spinning Earth may cause timekeepers to subtract a second from world clocks. Earth's changing spin is threatening to toy with our sense of time, clocks, and computerized society in an unprecedented way, but only for a second. For the first time in history, world timekeepers may have to consider subtracting a second from our clocks in a few years because the planet is rotating a tad faster than it used to. Clocks may have to skip a second, called a negative leap second, around 2029, a study in the journal Nature said Wednesday. This is an unprecedented situation and a big deal, said study lead author Duncan Agnew, a geophysicist at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at the University of California, San Diego. It is not a huge change in the Earth's rotation that's going to lead to some catastrophe or anything, but it's something notable. It's yet another indication that we're in very unusual time. Ice melting both Earth's poles has been counteracting the planet's burst of speed and is likely to have delayed this global second of reckoning by about 3 years. We are headed towards a negative leap second. It's a matter of when. It's a complicated situation that involves physics, global power, politics, climate change, technology, and two types of time. Earth takes about 24 hours to rotate, but the key word is about. For thousands of years, the Earth has been generally slowing down, with the rate varying from time to time, said Agnew and Judah Levine, a physicist for the Time and Frequency Division. This didn't matter until atomic clocks were adopted as the official time standard more than 55 years ago. Okay, very interesting read here. You might want to check out, my friends. And the last will end on a positive note. We're probably heading towards our next shutdown and maybe a real one this time that really can affect our lives and maybe cost us our lives more than the last time they closed this down. Texas reports human case of avian flu virus. The Texas Department of State Health reported Monday human case of avian flu, also known as bird flu. According to a press release in the department, the person had direct contact with dairy cattle. Did not specify where the person lives or where they contracted the virus. However, officials last week confirmed an illness that impacted dairies in the Texas panhandle. The person's only reported symptom was eye inflammation, according to the release. They were tested for the virus last week, and they're not being treated with antiviral drug oseltamivir. Does not change the risk for the general public, which remains low. Let's see if it remains low. Highly pathogenic avian flu detected in Michigan dairy herd. So not only is it detected in the cows in Texas, especially after all those horrible fires, it's also in Michigan being detected. Sounds like all the right seeds for something to happen right before it's time to cast our choice for the next leader of this country. Last article of the day, disturbing data shows 237% increase in alcohol-related deaths for over 55s. The last 25 years with COVID and higher amounts of disposable income blamed for the problem. There was a 237% increase in alcohol-related deaths among people over 55 years old between 1990 and 20. If the baby boomers consumed alcohol at the same levels as the prior generation, the sheer size of the group would lead to a significant increase in alcohol-related harms. While the prevalence of drinking in the age group increased by only 15.7%, the actual number of drinkers increased by 80.2%. Do you know why, bro? People are depressed, bro. They're depressed. They're living longer lives. They have problems. They get sad and they get lonely and that's it, you know? So, in any event, we live in an interesting world. Check out all the other episodes, my YouTube channel, and especially my Instagram where it's popping crazy videos. This is your boy, Beck Lover. And don't forget, we live in an interesting world. Interesting indeed. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, check out all my content, and I'll see you tomorrow on Interesting Times with Beck Lover.